You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs, live from the AT&T Center as the San Antonio Spurs hosted the Houston Rockets and lost another game. It's a little blowout. Do you even want to talk about the stats, Paul? I'll give you this Paul in a bit, but
they're almost pointless.
They're almost pointless, these stats.
136-105, and for those of y'all who have been following myself, know that I started with Project Spurs, and my colleague, or at least former colleague, Paul Garcia, is joining me on this episode of Locked On Spurs. It's almost a reunion, Paul. I think one of the last times you and I were here at the 18th season, were we walking off that court?
Yeah, that was right. Yeah, because I think that was it like a championship?
The championship.
2014, yeah.
We were coming off.
So the last time you and I were walking off this court, it was confetti filled. Nowadays, they're losing by 31 at home.
Nowadays, it's blowout filled. That's pretty much what it is. 136-105. The Spurs suffered another punch of the gut coming off a devastating, or as I like to call it, the massacre in Minnesota. They lost two in a row now. They are now 10 and 12. There's so many things, Paul, that we can tackle, but I feel like, and that's one thing I've told you prior to the recording, you know, I said I feel like any recap you read, it's the same thing over and over to start the season. Defense, and just really defense.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, over on Project Spurs, we analyze all the numbers and stuff, and it's the same thing like you just said. Every weakness for this team is on the defensive end. And now, one thing we're seeing in these last two games is that, even Pop said it tonight, is that it's the offense, too, that's now a big issue for him, is that he called the offense discombobulated tonight. And you can tell that he's been tinkering with the offense. He's trying to find something that works, because he put Derek White in the starting lineup in Minnesota. It didn't work out. Tonight, he put Dante Cunningham back in, and they got blown out again. It didn't matter. So you can just tell if Pop's actually saying it himself, that he's owning up to. And he even said he takes responsibility for the offense being, you know, having its issues right now. I think that's even worse, that not only are they just bad defensively, like you just mentioned, but offensively now that's actually becoming a problem. Because they, early on when they had all these early wins, it's because they were a top 10 offense, and now that's actually falling apart too.
Yeah, when it comes to offense, the Spurs, to have that, there's no doubt about that. DeMar DeRozan, pat on the back to Bryn Forbes. I mean, he is one of the more consistent scorers. Rudy Gay as well. LaMarcus Aldridge, he scored 20 points tonight versus the Rockets. But that's where it ends there. If you look at the box score, almost everybody, except for a couple of players, were a minus in the plus-minus column. The worst being a minus 31 from Rudy Gay, and a close second, minus 29. Bryn Forbes and LaMarcus Aldridge, a minus 27. DeMar DeRozan, a minus 26. I could go on and on and on about these plus and minuses. It just comes down to this. Does this franchise, does this team, do Spurs fans in particular need to understand what we have here may not be working right now?
I think that's the hardest thing, that they do need to realize that it's not working. I mean, but coming into this game, they were on pace to win basically 33 games. They're playing like a 33-win team, and that's where you got to be at when, if you're being realistic with yourself, if you're a Spurs fan, because they're competitive enough where they're right there. You know, they're actually, as of tonight, they're only a game and a half back of the 8th seed. So they're right there. I mean, the whole West is competitive. Everyone's 1 through 14. They're all, like, right there. However, you know, this Spurs team, there's nothing on this personnel. You know, Pau Gasol's going to eventually come back. Lonnie Walker might get some minutes. Derek White might get better. But there's no one that's going to actually come in and save this team. And then I've looked at the trades. I mean, they don't have the assets, first of all. But then second, you know, the good teams aren't going to give up their best assets. And there's not one specific player who's going to help the defense. You know, you got to have multiple defenders. Last year you had DeJounte Murray. You had Danny Green. You had Kyle Anderson. Three good perimeter defenders. So even without Kawhi, they were able to stay a top 10 defense because they had at least that foundation. So even if you get some sort of wing defender out there through the trade, he's going to be by himself. He still has to play next to DeRozan, a guy who's not known for defense. He still has to play next to Bryn Forbes, still has to play next to Patty Mills, Marco Bellinelli. I mean, it's a whole team thing, and I honestly don't see the trade market as somewhere that's going to fix it. On the flip side, you know, if they just keep playing this way, they're going to end up with maybe a top 10 pick for how bad they are.
Yeah. Going on with the numbers on the Houston side, the Rockets, they were led by Clint Capella. 27 points for the night, 12 rebounds, double-double for him. James Harden had 23 points. Chris Paul had 14 points and 10 assists in his return to the court. I ended that little statement with Chris Paul and James Harden. Stop me if you heard this before. Perimeter defense is porous. You have top-quality guards, Paul and Harden, just have their way. But it wasn't just this one loss. We've seen that in other losses and even other wins. Look at a team recently as Jeff Teague with Minnesota. You know, he lit up San Antonio. Look at another team that's been another loss. Oh, I don't know. It isn't even in wins. The perimeter defense is porous. It's poor. You and I talked about this. We brought up his name, Kawhi Leonard. You know, he's gone. Danny Green hurts. We're seeing the hurt of losing him. Do you think this team may have to look at maybe not offensive guys, but guys that could probably do something on defense? You talked about Trevor Ariza as a possibility. I know you mentioned about trades, but do the Spurs have to just simply say, we just got to find a defender? We got offense. Just find a defender.
I mean, that's at least a start. But again, I feel like that would be more of a band-aid. Let's just say they go get a Trevor Ariza, somebody like a Damari Carroll, a wing defender who's on the last year of his deal, who is gettable if you maybe move like Powell and the second and like a second round pick. That's actually very realistic. However, like I said, it's just a band-aid. You know, how much better are they going to be with a player like that? Maybe they get into the eighth seed, or maybe they're just like right there at ninth or tenth. You know, it's like I mentioned. I mean, you just have a foundation where you don't have good perimeter defenders. I mean, like tonight, the first two possessions for Houston, you had Bryn Forbes guarding Chris Paul, and you had DeMar DeRozan guarding James Harden, and you know it was over from there. I mean, those guys, like you mentioned, they're just going to get shredded. Mm-hmm. And there's only one, you know, one whoever that wing defender is that if you were to try to trade, it's only one of him. He can't cover, you know, three other guys out on the perimeter. It's just not working that way.
One thing we talked about, and I brought it up, a lot of Spurs fans are just griping about, well, why are you putting out Derek White and DeMar DeRozan? Why are you putting out Bryn Forbes and Patty Mills starting? If you look at who they have at that spot, or both spots, it ain't going to work no matter what. So Spurs fans just need to really come off of that and realize what they have, whatever combo they throw at the guard position, maybe doing it on the offensive end, but not quite going to get it done on the defensive end, no matter what combo you put out there.
Exactly. I mean, this is who the team has. You know, you look at the free guys who are out there. There's not that many guys that are going to be more of an upgrade than Bryn Forbes or Patty Mills or someone like that. You know, obviously, I think fans are going to start calling for Lonnie Walker's name now that he's getting healthy. But even him, he's a rookie. You know, we saw that Derek White, everybody expected, oh, as soon as he gets back, he's going to take over. And he did look good his first game against Houston. But then we've seen that he's still just a sophomore player in Pop's system, and it's really difficult for him. Every night he's struggling lately. So there's no guarantee that even if you get a young guy or even some random veteran, that they're gonna make this team that much better than what you have. And that's kind of where the Spurs are right now. This is who their team is. And, you know, it's like you just said, they got to be realistic, the fans. Like, this could either be a lottery team or it may be an 8 seed at best.
Yeah. And I think when you say 8 seed, I think you're being generous.
And one thing why I've been saying this a lot, I knew early on I did give them some, like you mentioned earlier, they were 6-2 to start. And usually in the first 10, 15 games, I give a team, you know, the benefit of the doubt because it's such a small sample size. But when we get to game 20, which we already have two games ago, I feel like that's your team. Like, mm-hmm. It is, like I mentioned, who's coming back? Powell's going to come back down the road, or maybe Derek White gets better, Lonnie Walker. Those guys are not going to make that much of an improvement. So I really think that is your team when you've gone through 20 games and this is what you still are, a bad defense and maybe an 11, 12th offense. This is who you are.
Yeah. All right, Paul and I, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're still going to dive into the loss and also, you know, give our thoughts on how this team could project out as the season goes on and a lot more. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Paul Garcia of Project Spurs. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at
Paul Garcia NBA.
There you go, Paul Garcia NBA. Paul, we're still diving into this Houston loss, another 30-point-plus blowout. Heading into tonight's game versus Houston, I thought that would actually be fuel for them, losing the way they did versus Minnesota. You don't want to get embarrassed like that. They were the laughingstock of the NBA for a day. But they did it again.
Not only that, Las Vegas, you know, when I woke up this morning, Las Vegas could not pick a favorite in this game. It was even. It was dead even. They didn't know if the Spurs were going to be better, if the Rockets were going to be better tonight. Once D'Antoni announced that Chris Paul was going to play, the Rockets just became a 3.5-point favorite. So that's it. Vegas really thought this was going to be a very close, grinded-out game. And that was a complete opposite, like you mentioned. They ended up getting, you know, just
waxed.
Waxed, here at home in the AT&T Center. So, you know, just the expectations that we usually have for this team, they're not even there right now.
Yeah, things are not looking that great in San Antonio, and it's not going to get any better as the Portland Trailblazers with, shocking, T.J. McCollum, Damian Lillard, another 1-2 punch on the perimeter, that is definitely going to light up San Antonio. Let's start moving away from this Houston game. Pretty much the Spurs were embarrassed, in my opinion. You look forward. I mentioned the Portland game. They got the Lakers coming up. It's not going to get easier. And, Paul, I'm afraid it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I recently wrote a piece where I looked at, you know, the Spurs were struggling against teams, not even 500 teams. We're just talking 400 teams. So I was like, you know, when we first saw the schedule come out in August, we thought, okay, yeah, they have some easy spring games, you know, in February, January. However, now that we know that they struggle against this level of team, the 400 teams, there's really no easy month on the schedule, and it's just going to continue to spiral. Like you just mentioned, you're going to see the Lakers twice these next 10 games. You see the Jazz twice. You're going to see Portland. I mean, they're never going to get a night off. And even when they do get an easy team like a Chicago, like a Phoenix, they are susceptible to lose those games like they did against Phoenix and how they almost did against Chicago.
I thought they had no business winning against Chicago. I had projected them to finish 1-3. In the four-game roadie. But here's the thing, though. Even as bad as it was versus Houston and as horrible it was against Minnesota, dare I ask, can it get any worse?
Oh, yeah, it can get a lot worse. Okay. This team can just, you know, like look at the upcoming schedule. There's no guaranteed win for this Spurs team. I did my picks this week, and I actually picked them to win this game, the Houston game. And look what happened. They lost by 31 points. So it can get a lot worse, and I really feel like there's going to be two baselines for the Spurs. It's like, as long as they're kind of right there, like I mentioned, they're as bad as tonight was, they're only a game and a half out of eight seats. So as long as they're right there, like within like three or four games, they're going to continue to stay as competitive. So that's where it gets tricky of how much, when do you actually like start getting ready to call it a season? Because the minute that they get like 10 games out of the eighth seed, I think that's it. Like they really have to start determining, are we going to, you know, is it time to start playing young guys? I mean, they already are playing young guys, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, or maybe look at, you know, long-term future type of trade. Yeah. So they are going to get to a point there where it's going to become close to kind of conversations.
Yeah, and just a quick note, if you're hearing some background noise, apparently Rockets fans are shooting free throws on the AT&T Center. The disrespect continues here at the AT&T Center. Paul and I, we're going to take our second break. When we get back, we're going to wrap up this episode of Locked On Spurs and get into the ugly, dirty facts of maybe it's time for Spurs fans to realize something. All right, we are back, and I'm joined by Paul Garcia of Project Spurs. Paul, final thoughts on this game before I have a big, heavy question for you coming up.
You know, like I mentioned, I'm actually kind of surprised. I really thought that after they got blown out in Minnesota, they'd come back with a fire to them. They'd be more competitive. Vegas thought they'd be competitive, and they just got killed again. They just got torched out on the floor on both ends, you know, and it actually looks worse now because Pop kind of revealed – because, like, you know, we always thought that maybe the offense was finally there. Like, it was at least a top 10 every night. Well, now Pop's kind of revealed that now they're struggling on that end, too. So it's not just the defense. It's almost like a sinking ship. Like, one part of the ship was already sinking, which is the defense. And now you just open up another hole, and now the water's flooding in now on the offensive end.
If you look at this loss, we talked about the Minnesota loss. We definitely talked about the Houston loss. Got to ask you a big question now. The T word that's been thrown out about, and I'm talking tank. That's been a very big topic among Spurs fans. You've gotten questions about it on the Project Spurs end. I've been asked about it on the Spurs Zone end. I'm team no camp. I mean, no tank, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm a team no tank. Play your best and let the chips fall where they may. Are you team tank?
As of right now, no, just because, like I mentioned, they're only a game and a half out of the eight. And what we're seeing is 1 through 14 out west, everyone is in the race right now. You know, no matter how bad you're playing. I mean, Houston was 14 coming into this game. Like I mentioned, though, if they fall 10 games out of the eighth seed, I mean, away from the eighth seed, then it's time to really consider. I think there's two trains of thought here. There's is this the two-year plan where you do try to keep this core together, go back in the summertime, and then add DeJounte Murray next year, and, you know, hopefully that he helps them improve, plus whatever free agents they get. There's that line of thought of stay competitive for at least, it's like a two-year plan.
Yeah.
Or there's the thought of, hey, it's maybe time to start looking at the future, and maybe, like you mentioned, tank, maybe looking at, hey, how much can the Spurs get for DeMar DeRozan, for LaMarcus Aldridge, for some of these players, Marco Bellinelli, Rudy Gay, players that contending teams would want right now. Well, I don't know if they would want Aldridge the way he's playing right now. But anyway, So I mean, there's going to be that conversation, too. It's kind of, we don't know where the organization's at as far as, like, what is their thinking? Is this, like, a two-year plan with Murray? They want to see how good this team can be, or is it more of, like, hey, if Murray's our future and Derek White and Lonnie Walker, and Chemezi Metu, then hey, it might be time to move some of these veteran guys and just be ready for next year.
The blueprint is there. Look what the Kings have done. Mm-hmm. The Kings are now looking a lot better. You know, they're one of the better teams.
And one thing I wanted to mention about the tanking is that I know fans say tanking a lot, but there's no guarantee that you get a top five pick, first of all. Because one, you have to play worse than the bad teams already. Phoenix, you have to play worse than Chicago, like we mentioned, Atlanta. All these teams are already ahead of you in tanking. And then the NBA purposely is trying to take away tanking by making the odds not that much better. So if you get like a top, if you get like one of the five worst records, you're not even guaranteed to get the number one seed just by the percentages, because the league does not want teams tanking anymore. And again, and as bad as the Spurs are, they're going to be competitive in a lot of games, and the East is just that much worse with some of all their teams. You got Cleveland, I didn't mention. Yeah. So I feel like if they did want to tank, you're already behind the ball in that department. So that's just some extra thoughts on that.
Well, here's the thing, too, for me, whether they don't tank or no tank or whatever it is, my thing is this. Stay the course. I really believe that with Paul coming back, that'll push LaMarcus Aldridge back to his natural position at the four spot. It'll bring another guy who can, like, secure the rim, rebound, a veteran presence to help the team in blowouts like this. He's not there. I know Paul Gasol's not the answer. I get that. I understand that. And I know he's not going to be that much of a difference maker between playoffs or no playoffs. I get that. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But at least they'll become competitive where no embarrassing games like this happens versus Houston, versus Minnesota. And more so, even if you tank, even if you purposely tank, you're still going to have to deal with this, the other ripple effect. You talked about fans. Will the fans come out and support the team?
Yeah.
You know, will players' stock plummet where the Spurs maybe can't move to, players because they're resting them or they're not hurt or they're out for a couple of days with a mysterious injury?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you know, it's like you mentioned, there's just ripple effects across the board. You know, it's not exciting to be, like, you know, a tanking team, but then it's also not that exciting to not be a contending team. So I'm with you where I think that they just, as long as they're within that playoff hunt, they need to just stay as competitive as they can. And luckily for them, the West is all having issues. I mean, everyone's losing.
Yeah,
I mean, Houston walked in, they went on a 4-game losing streak. And, you know, Utah team, that they're just weird at home. They're 2-6. They have, like, some, there's just a lot of things going on. A lot of teams that a lot of people picked are struggling. I agree with you. Stay the course as much as you can.
Yeah. One thing that DeMar DeRozan said in post-game thoughts, he said, this team lacks confidence. Yeah. I was shocked by that, Paul.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's kind of what you see is that, like, he mentioned that, like, when their offense isn't going well, it affects their defense because they miss a shot on offense or they turn it over, and they don't have that hustle and that energy to want to get back on the other end and put their best effort. And you see it when Houston's getting wide open threes, you know, just pass after pass, some penetrating the defense. So that was a big quote by him to say that they are lacking confidence. And you would, I mean, anybody would, like, you know, just when we go play open gym and you get beat by, like, 20 points, you feel, like, you know, like, deflated. So I really think that they're going to need a win pretty soon, because that will help at least bring that confidence back, or at least even play a close game.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, just a week ago, they almost beat Memphis, who was the number one team. They pretty much did beat them because the refs basically gave that one away. But, you know, they went from that to now all of a sudden they're getting blown up by almost like 70 points combined.
Jeez, yeah. It's not been a pretty start to the season, and I fear, and I'm pretty sure Paul will agree, it's only going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. So brace yourself now, Spurs fans, Spurs Zone fans, Project Spurs fans, Spurs Cast listeners, Lockdown listeners. It's going to get worse. Now, is there a bright side to this? Yes. Lonnie Walker might come back and get a lot of run to get that NBA experience under his belt. And I'm saying he's not going to be a difference maker, but at least it'll propel him and help him adjust to the NBA life if he does get the call up from Austin. Metu maybe get some burn. I don't know. It's just a head scratcher. It really is, because they come out and they hold a Golden State Warriors team to under 100 points. And yes, I get it. Draymond and Steph weren't playing, but they still had Klay and Durant, and they still got the job done. And then they come out and barely win against a Bulls team, lose to a Phoenix Suns team. But then they stay competitive against Memphis. This is a team that just, I think personally, it's between the years.
Yeah, it's exactly. That's what I said about the 2-year plan. I mean, that's kind of what they are. I mean, you basically just described a 500 team, which is that's what they're playing like right now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where you see those kind of results. And even think about, like, Toronto the night before just barely beat Golden State with the same, you know, that same team with KD and Klay only. And yet the Spurs, you know, held them under 100, like you mentioned.
Go figure. Yeah. Yeah, all right. So that's a wrap here from the AT&T Center. Spurs 136. Rockets 136. I wish it was 136 for Spurs, but no, now. Houston 136, San Antonio 105. Spurs fall to 10-12 on a two-game losing streak. And the next up will be Portland Trail Blazers here at the AT&T Center this coming Sunday. Paul, go ahead and give all your information. How can fans interact with you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Garcia NBA, and then also read our stuff and the Spurscast, listen to it over on ProjectSpurs.com.
There you go. Go make sure to give Paul a follow. He says he's Paul Garcia NBA. So if you have any other NBA questions, give him a follow and talk to him. He's always willing to talk. Yeah, he has the stats, everything. He's good to go. But for Paul Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Lockdown Spurs.